Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Hello and welcome to a transatlantic special of Friends with Friends. My name's Pete Allison and I come to you live from Birmingham, West Midlands, UK. And here's Dave Cribb.
Ahoy hoy, in the shadow of the Empire State Building. And by shadow, I mean I can see it just over there, but it's not, you know, it's not that close really. I wouldn't say an actual shadow. I'm in home of the Friends from Friends, New York City.
And Dave has spent his whole time while he's in New York recording a special documentary about Friends, which you can look forward to in your feeds next week. That's right, isn't it, Dave?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. A 7-hour documentary, each spanning each of the streets one by one in New York. Yeah. I spent an incredible amount of time on the same street as the Friends apartment without actually walking past it. I don't ever quite make it that far, but I've been in the village every night.
I was surprised when you mentioned that you wanted to do this documentary series and record it naked. I wasn't too sure on why you had to be naked for it.
I just know our audience, you know?
Yeah.
Rule one of any sort of broadcasting, know your audience. And if there's one thing I know about our audience is they prefer their podcasters naked. So that's what I've opted to do.
Often listen naked.
Well, I wouldn't know. I'd question how you know that.
Send us your picture. No.
Moving on. Shall we get on to this week's episode request?
Yes.
It's from Vicky. Now, Vicky says, lads. She starts with lads. I know we're not meant to be requesting episodes at this point. What point was that then? Probably December 2021?
I think it's not long after that, actually.
But I'm less than a minute into an episode and I fully lolled a plot I'd completely forgotten about. And all I can think of is the two of you and your tech chat. Do we do tech chat? Again, this is probably 3 years
we
ago.
We probably did in late 2021.
Tech chat as in like sort of talking about old technology. In Friends. The episode is the one where Ross and Rachel take a break, where obviously there's a lot occurring, blah, blah, blah. Vicky says blah blah blah, not me. But Phoebe has just run into the apartment desperate to figure out where her foreign diplomat date is from and has asked for an atlas. Atlas, and gets given a globe. Please discuss atlases and globes. Also, I can't decide whether this is funnier, the alternative in my brain, which is her spending half an episode unraveling a dial-up internet cable and borrowing Chandler's laptop. Giant laptop, and the rest of the episode having to backing track of screeching we all grew up with. Oh yeah, the screeching. Oh, the dial-up screeching. When was the last time you used an atlas?
I think you probably have to go back to school for when I used an atlas. And do you know the thing I thought about the globe? Imagine using a globe. Like, I know having one, but they're largely like ornamental. Imagine actively using a globe to pinpoint something as a tool.
I was thinking that. I was sort of thinking, what is the point of a globe? And I know that sounds like a stupid thing to say, but what are the practical applications of a globe?
I imagine they were for plotting journeys, right?
Surely not, though. You're surely not. You're not getting on a boat from fucking Plymouth or something, are you? And going, right, here's my little round globe. How do we get to, you know, Cape Town?
Plymouth to Cape Town.
You know, that old journey.
Did you know that the globe, the first, if you're still with us, the first known globe was created by a Greek scientist living in what is now Turkey?
Okay.
More than 2,000 years ago.
Not far from where Sergei is from, the never specified foreign country.
Yeah, a bit dodgy that.
Well, it is a bit dodgy. And the thing I actually, and before we sort of crack into it properly, the thing that really struck me was they've clearly deliberately never said the name of the country, and therefore to keep it sort of generic, and, you know, they can't be sort of anything coming back on them. So what language are they speaking? And did they just get two American actors to make up a foreign sounding language and shout it?
That's true. They must be speaking, you'd think, some sort of language.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know. If anyone's a linguist, it doesn't sound...
Oh, I'm sure someone knows, yeah.
Yeah. But then if they have chosen a real language, why not just say the name of the country, you know?
That's a good point, Dave.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Anyway, should we crack on with a synopsis, Peter?
Yeah, go for it.
Okie dokie. Season 3, episode 15, the one where Ross and Rachel take a break. 465263.
Nah.
Nope, not interested in that either. Chandler and Joey both attracted to Chloe, the girl who works at the copy centre. Phoebe dates an Eastern European diplomat. Oh, you've decided this there. Fine.
Okay.
Whose interpreter accompanies them everywhere to translate. To gain some privacy, she fixes up Monica with the interpreter, but soon regrets it. Ross and Rachel's relationship is further strained when she has to work late on their anniversary. Ross surprises her with a basket lunch, but insists she is too busy. They have a bitter fight with Rachel, saying they need a break. Upset, Ross goes drinking with Joey and Chandler and ends up sleeping with Chloe. We don't know that yet for sure,
We don't find that out, no.
He's just kissed her in the world's worst club, where apparently a DJ is playing U2's With or Without You at 1 a.m.
And also, talking of the DJ, while you mention him, when we first see the club or bar, he's not DJing. He's asking for 25 cents to buy a condom.
Yeah, he's off, is he? Where's he going? Is he leaving already?
I wouldn't trust a condom that costs 25 cents, would you?
No. Have you ever used a condom machine in a public bathroom?
If you ever used a condom.
That's not the sort of chat we have on Friends with Friends. We're really too personal. But those machines that they have in like bathrooms, not so much anymore.
But they're a bit of a mixed bag, because sometimes like they sell condoms, and then other ones like sell spints.
Yeah. Yeah, depends what kind of night you're having, I guess, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So where do you want to start? Do you want to start with the Eastern European diplomat, Ross and Rachel, or the wonderful world of photocopying?
Let's start with... Can we start with Ross and Rachel? I want to get that bit like out of the way.
I agree. It's so bleak, isn't it? We're just in the middle of them just having a terrible time. This is... At this stage, I know we've debated long and hard, Ross and Rachel, break, not break, blah, blah, blah. But this portion of the storyline, very much Ross's fault, right?
Yeah, he's so frustrating because... There's that phone call, isn't there, where she's saying she needs to work.
Yeah.
And he makes that offer of, oh, I could come along. And she says, no, that's... She specifically says, no, it's like, it's not convenient for you to come, even though, like, you bring in dinner or whatever. I mean, like, just also, leave her.
In what world does someone go, I've got a work emergency, I'm clearly incredibly stressed, I can't come home? In what world do you then go, oh, I'll just come there? Like,
yeah,
that's one of the worst things you could possibly do, right?
And then a little bit later, when he does come along, Rachel's colleagues like, oh, what a boyfriend. No, not cute. Being overbearing.
Overbearing. Sophie does not help situations here, is what I would say. This is the first appearance of Sophie, actually. And she seems
does
quite
upbeat.
Does
she get hit by... Oh, no, it's not her that gets hit by a taxi.
No, Joanna gets hit by a cab. But Sophie is just sort of constantly bullied by Joanna, isn't she? But here, she seems quite perky and upbeat, as if the world hasn't sort of trodden down on her yet. But yeah, she isn't helping because she's going, oh, this is amazing. Oh, I wish, you know, stop it. You're not helping Rachel. If you were in that work emergency, you would be as stressed as Rachel and not want some colleague's boyfriend to rock up with a picnic basket and candles.
Yeah,
and then that fucking pepper shaker thing. Oh my God. Like, what are you doing, Ross?
He's putting a lot of pepper on a salad. What
a
looks
lot
to be a
of
salad.
Pepper. A lot of pepper and a noisy electronic pepper mill.
I would say that, unsurprisingly, this is not a good Friends episode for men because, or a good look for men.
No.
Because even later, like when Mark rings her, she says, oh no, like, don't come over. Like, and he still does. Like, men aren't giving Rachel a lot of say here.
Yeah. And the entire episode there is just men coming to see Rachel when she doesn't want them to.
Yeah.
Mark is a bit of a fucking snake, isn't he, at this point? He knows exactly what he's doing. He has run to leave a message, in inverted commas. I call bullshit, don't call late at night, you know, at home with your colleagues. But then as soon as he basically hears a tiny crack in her sort of voice, he sort of smells the emotional vulnerability and is like, I'm coming over. I'm coming over with Chinese food to try and have sex with you. And it's like, just go to sleep, Mark. Bide your time, at least, if you want to try and make a move.
I also think that I know Rachel doesn't do a great deal, if anything, wrong in this scenario. I do understand why Ross is alarmed to hear Mark in the background so soon after they agree to go on a break, but then he goes and shags someone else. I think, like, for Rachel, Mark is, like, forcing himself into the... Not like, actively forcing himself, but he's very much imposing on
her.
Yeah. So I know the old argument, were they on a break? And let's not have that conversation because it's very well trodden ground. But I don't think Rachel does a lot wrong.
She doesn't do a lot wrong, no. I think she shouldn't have let Mark come over. But like you say, he sort of... She just doesn't put up much of a fight when he does say, I'm coming over. Do you know what I mean? She should have probably then said... No, I'm gonna go and try and see Ross or find Ross. See you later. See you tomorrow. You know, but I think she's in a bit of an emotional state, so we can't really hold that too much against her. Mark is still being very pushy, and all she's really done wrong, I guess, from Ross's point of view, is be too into her job. But like she says, she's clearly passionate about it, and like, frankly, Ross, you should be enjoying your girlfriend's happiness in her career, and if that means you see her a bit less for a bit, it should be worth it if you want to be with her. I've got no time for Ross's attitude here.
You know, there's that moment where they're on the phone and Mark says about, I'm bringing Chinese, and he says, oh no, that's for me. But then he does then offer her Chinese once he comes over. But so even though he's got this Chinese seemingly for both of them in the end, there's that scene where she's like sat on the windowsill and she's just gnawing on a baguette. She's obviously not eating much and then just, you know, she's got the diet of a small mouse.
good depression food, plain baguette on a windowsill. I mean, I think we've got to the absolute nadir of Ross and Rachel's relationship here now, and you know,
with the U2 scene of doom.
Oh, the U2 scene of doom. I mean, frankly, Ross would be alarmed to hear Mark in the background, but he shouldn't be able to hear him. Like, you shouldn't be able to call from a payphone in a club. I mean, a payphone in a club, hilarious. But if you're in a club, he wouldn't really be able to hear Rachel, never mind Mark in the background, you know?
Yeah, true.
But the U2 scene of doom, the first big moment, that whole scene where they have the fight and they go on a break. So, like, that's almost burnt into my brain. It's, like, etched into my brain, though, line by line. I just feel like...
The frozen yogurt bit?
Yeah, frozen yogurt. Just a job. Do you realise for the first time in my life I'm doing something I actually... All of that sort of stuff. As soon as that starts, it just feels like you're watching something so familiar, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And then, yeah, we're back to the club. Chloe, I mean, again, she sort of knows what she's doing in the same way that Martin knows what he's doing, but I think she is less calculatingly doing it. She's more just horny for men that like big photocopying, apparently. Like, she's really, she is really...
A 400%er.
Sort of, wow, I mean, yeah, show Chloe your 400%er, Ross. Yeah. It's a grower. but she just seems absolutely fascinated by Ross, like almost what's the word? Infatuated, that's it. Crikey. My brain isn't working at 100% yet. From the moment he comes in, because apparently of his big photocopying obsession. But then she pulls him up for a slow dance in a club, Pete.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, what is this place?
The vibes are real bad, aren't they? No wonder they're hiring Isaac, who's too busy off buying condoms.
Isaac's whacked on with or without you, so he can go and have sex in the bathrooms with a condom he's just bought. But yeah, so there's the slow dance, the kiss, and then boom. We know what happens next, but no spoilers here, just in case you're watching Friends. For the first time in the order of the podcast, not chronological order, which would be insane, but we have to allow for that possibility.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Should we... talk about Xerox Chloe then in the other context of this storyline.
What is the other context?
Jerry threesome. Jerry and Chandler, the threesome, the weird... I mean, yeah. Let's dial it right back and remember the fact that they're in a place where you go and you queue up to get something photocopied. There's nothing more 90s than that.
Yeah, that's true. And I think, you know how they're... I mean, it's basically a bit of a no homo kind of conversation, isn't it?
That yeah. They're having.
But I would say that it's really quite hard to accidentally have gay sex. Like, it's quite difficult to accidentally have sex of any kind.
Yeah.
But I think you know what's happening if you encounter a penis.
Yeah.
And if you're not into that, at that point, you'd be like, oh, hang on, that's yes. A penis. I'll stop.
The interesting thing for me is they sit down and constantly debate within the world of this sort of no homo thing, like you say, but they're constantly trying to mitigate what if this happens, what if that happens, what if I touch a thing, what if I see your thing. But neither of them at any point, no matter how uncomfortable they clearly are with it, neither of them embraces the possibility that they just don't have to have sex with each other. Like, yeah. they don't even have to have a threesome. They could just not have a threesome if they're that bothered about this. Why are they so desperate to see a girl naked that they're going to put themselves in this, let's face it, like, homophobic nightmare for each other?
Yeah, don't worry, guys. No one's going to force you to have a threesome. You just decide whether you want it or not, and but that's fine.
Right, and this is extended to the point of, like, why are they so desperate to... Like, is there such a lack of women in New York City in the 90s that they have to specifically go down to the photocopying shop just to talk to a woman that works there?
Also, twice in one day in Chandler's case.
Like, twice Jesus, in one mate. Day? Crikey. The Xerox shop sort of makes me think of things like internet cafes. It's just like places that absolutely just don't exist anymore, but where you have to specifically go to a place. Well, snappy snacks. I mean, you can go and get things photocopied these days, but surely if anyone's doing photocopying, it's mostly either in an office or, you know, I mean, I've got a printer with a photocopier, Pete. I rarely use it, but.
When did you last scan a document?
I scan on a scanner, never. I scan on my iPhone all the time, actually. That's quite a good feature. But not. Yeah, in the notes of your iPhone, if you click like scan, it sort of finds a doc. If you put like a document on a table, it like finds it, outlines it, and then scans it in like that sort of old school scanner quality. So it's like black on white. The black's really vivid on the white background. This is honestly one of the most boring things I've ever said, I think.
I zoned out about 10 seconds ago.
I think
my head actually lolled forwards.
Pete's dead. How did Pete die? He died from a story that Dave told about scanners. So yeah, to sum up, Pete, not scanning that much these days.
All right, good.
I do really enjoy the scene in the photocopying place, though, in the Xerox place, where Chandler becomes a pathetic mess of a man. That at one point, he just goes, in reply to one of Chloe's questions, he just goes, well, you know.
Yeah, there's also that line I really like when they're chatting about it in Central Perk, where Joey says, yeah, but what's heads and what's tails? And Chandler replies, you don't know that. I don't want to do this.
Yeah, absolutely. They're sort of reminiscent of ducks' heads because ducks have heads, you know?
Yeah, really good.
Friends gets a surprising amount of leverage out of coin toss jokes, doesn't it?
Me too, yeah.
So yeah, Joey and Chandler are discussing their potential threesome. Obviously, ironically, inevitably, it's Ross that Chloe ends up going home with, not Joey or Chandler. But she is, I'd say, very clearly up for having sex with somebody from the start of this, isn't she? She's just lining...
Oh, she's on a mission, isn't
she?
She's
lining men up for Isaac's DJ gig to come. But hey, she's always had her eyes on Ross because of his 400%ers. She does love photocopying, doesn't she? Like, you wouldn't have thought someone that works at the Xerox place would actively love it that much, but she's talking about it outside of work to the point where even Joey and Chandler are bored and they are horny for anything.
She may have her faults, but damn, she's passionate about her job.
I mean, she is probably the most boring woman in the world, isn't she, when she's talking about different photocopying machines. Have a bit of self-awareness,
Chloe. I don't know about
that.
You talk about scanning, you'd probably get along well.
Yep. People in glass houses should not throw stones. I accept your criticism, and we shall move on. On to the generic foreigners.
Yeah, a bit dodgy this, isn't it?
It just, the whole thing just feels a bit weird. It's so weird they don't identify the country deliberately, and it's so odd that, like, I think it must be Eastern Europe based on the language they're speaking and the reference to Hitler marching across it during World War II.
Yeah, the translator is quite good at flirting on someone else's behalf, I think. So full credit to him.
But, yes.
My favourite bit involving him is when Phoebe makes out with the diplomat and sort of makes a moan of pleasure.
Yeah, and the translator,
he translates it with a very funny, oi.
It's actually really well done, that whole scene, I think. But it feels like a bit of a comedy cliche now, the sort of translator gimmick, you know, but they still do it so well. And obviously back in the day, it was probably a lot more fresh than it would feel now. But that scene where they're walking through the street and he's translating and Phoebe's getting all into a twist about what to say, I think it's really funny. And then that scene again in the restaurant where Monica's there, all the translating bits of the plot line are really like laugh out loud funny. And they have a lot of like... good joking around with it, don't they?
And also the whole premise of Phoebe going to the UN to give out free massages is very, in the hope of it bringing about like world peace because they're more
absolutely
relaxed. Really good.
I mean, as the translator
will you be giving anyone free massages at the UN while you're in New York?
Well, I might pop down to the UN and see if anyone's giving out free massages, Pete. I'm going the other way. I'm on the search for a free massage. No one wants a free massage from me.
Don't go on the search for a free massage in New York, Dave.
No, yeah, I have to be careful to do it only at the UN.
Yeah, yeah.
When no illegal activity ever happens. Hashtag satire.
Anyway. Feels like it needs some sort of legal scrutiny.
I think it was too generic to be problematic. Anyway, back to Monica, her translator date. I mean, the translator flags it, doesn't he, when he sort of says, "You silly diplomat, learn some English." How the fuck does that man do his job as a diplomat in America with zero... He doesn't even know what the word plate really means. He gets lucky with the word plate.
I think... If so, he does get he's in the right ballpark, isn't he? With plate and what he thinks it means.
Yes.
But I would say that if you knew that little English, plate is not a word you'd know.
It's a funny word to make your sort of only word of English, right?
Yeah. I also love Phoebe's line in this scene when she gives Monica a tissue when she's angry about the date and says, "I hope you don't suck it up through your nose and choke on it."
Phoebe's really exasperation in that scene is very funny, isn't it? But to be fair, it is an absolute disaster of a setup because, by definition, who's going to talk to who? How is Phoebe going to converse with this guy who speaks not a single word of... Oh, actually, no, do you know what? We know he knows the words American and pie as well.
That's true.
So he knows plate, American, and pie. So he could feasibly ask for some pie on a plate in America, but that's about the extent of his... linguistical abilities, but I'm just fascinated that a man has got to that high levels of sort of the political sphere without even being able to correctly identify a plate with full confidence.
And to understand the offer of a free massage.
Well, yeah, how did they converse in the first place? Like,
maybe she just like ran up and started massaging him.
No, I mean, when it comes to Phoebe, as we know, discussing last week how she managed to break into Sting's apartment within hours.
Then
that sort of behaviour does track, doesn't it? How does Monica not know what "Voulez-vous coucher avec moi ce soir" means? Like, isn't the whole point of the song that we all know, "Nudge, nudge, wink, wink," what that means? How has she sort of learned it without ever questioning
it? It's sort of the
opposite.
It's sort of the opposite of my point about the plate, isn't it? Like, if you don't know French, so, you probably do know what that means.
100% you know what that means, because the first thing anyone did when they first heard that song for the first time was ask their friend, "Ooh, what does that mean?" And like, we were discussing that in primary school playgrounds, Pete, you know? Which seems a bit weird now, but I do remember that's where I first learned.
Were you discussing the original version of Lady Marmalade
of course.
Moulin Rouge remake? No,
when I was at primary school, Pete. Of course it was the bloody original.
Why? What year were you in primary school?
I left primary school in 1997.
What year was Moulin Rouge?
Like 2001?
Was it?
Yeah.
Then I was discussing that one in primary school.
Were you really?
You old bastard. Yeah.
Oh God, I am old, aren't I? Now, that is sad. I mean, I think we all have to agree the Moulin Rouge version is better. It's vibier and there's a rap, you know?
I enjoy the contrasting modern fortunes of the members of that remake.
of the Moulin Rouge, Lady
Maya,
Moulin, yeah,
Lil Kim, Pink, Christina, Pink, and Missy Elliott.
Yeah. It's quite a gang, isn't it? At least two of whom have fallen completely off the radar in various forms.
And Christina, who's doing Just Eat adverts. But that obviously pays well, given who does it.
Yeah, I would have thought so. Yeah, I thought that's absolutely worth a while, right?
And Ping. And I was trying to say... And Pink is flinging around various stadiums around the world. And instead
Pink
it
is
just
flipping
came out,
around.
Pink. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Pink is still probably the winner of the gang, isn't she?
Yeah, I reckon so.
There you go. This episode has like two very commonly used silly phrases that I take into my everyday life, and one is plate. Every time I get a plate out of the cupboard, and my sister is currently living with me, and every time I sort of get her a plate for dinner or something, I will always say plate in the exact tone of Sergey. So it's impressive from the Friends writers that they've managed to turn the word plate into a catchphrase.
What else, what's the other one?
The other one is Binky Boy, which yeah, I say all the time. And I don't know what it's supposed to mean, but it's funny. And it sounds like it's supposed to be some sort of curse words in the made-up generic Eastern European language. So yeah, I bring Binky Boy into conversation quite a lot. When you don't know what to say, Pete, what do you say? You say Binky Boy.
Yeah, say Binky Boy. Fair.
And my final thing is, what the fuck's a diplomatic coupon?
While you're in the city, you get to go to, is it Rainbow Rooms?
Rainbow Room. I mean, I feel like coupons in general, again, are very 90s, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, do they give you coupons for the Rainbow Rooms? I don't know. That's wild.
What was that noise?
That's the vacuum. I think the cleaner's vacuuming the hotel corridor outside.
Right.
Yep, pretty high-end stuff. I am in my hotel room in New York, just to clarify. So I'm not just sort of wandering around vacuum cleaners for no reason. Did you hear the sirens earlier as well, or did that not come through?
No, didn't hear that.
Yeah. Just a busy city, Peter, isn't it? There's a lot going on in old New York.
City life.
A city that never sleeps. Hey, Pete.
Hi.
Do we have a quiz?
Are you asking me?
Yeah.
No.
No. Cool.
You're in charge of quiz.
No, do you not remember what we did last week? We said, can somebody just get in touch with us and send us a quiz?
So, well, do you know what? We deserve that. Yeah. We deserve not to have a quiz, if that's the case.
So right, I've prepared a quiz for you, Pete. You ready? Question one, what country is Sergey from?
Somewhere in Eastern Europe.
Question two, what language is Sergey and is he called Masha? What's his name? Misha.
The language spoken in aforementioned Eastern European country.
There you go. Question three, is a cup a plate?
No.
No. Good quiz.
How much is a jar of olives?
$2.99.
$2.95.
Good. That's a very funny joke, isn't it? I really enjoyed that little. I love those little things that have nothing to do with the plot, but are just little throwaway jokes. How much would you pay me to eat this entire jar of olives? Nothing, but you lend me $2.95. Funny. Just a funny bit, Pete.
Do you want to know which episode we're doing next week and which we require some to do a quiz for?
Yes, please.
We just are sort of manifesting a quiz.
Yeah.
It is Season 8, Episode 15, the one with the birthing video.
Oh, lovely. Oh, good, good, good. We'll do that one next week then. I'll be back in Blighty. I'll be back in my studio. There'll be none of this vacuum cleaners outside the door. Normal service will resume, but there'll be no shadow of the Empire State Building. So if you've enjoyed listening to this and hearing the Empire State Building just outside my window, then...
You can't hear the Empire State Building. All we hear was a fucking Hoover.
Not with that attitude, you can't.
Yeah, okay.
See you next week.
Bye.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.